Well, a very happy new year. It's wonderful to be together. Today we're going to talk about obstacles to overcome and opportunities to embrace. Our new year. God is amazing. That's what makes our new year so optimistic. Couldn't be a service without mentioning Surinder. Wonderful to have had her in the church. Played such a wonderful part in our lives. She was a faithful Christian for 20 years. She grew a lot over those 20 years. She became a Christian in her late 50s. Yesterday we had her funeral, which was very, very, very special. I've asked to do to come and share something that is sort of in line at some point, a bit later on, that's in line with what we're talking about today. But life is challenging. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
A new year is quite challenging.
Yeah.
Sometimes you look back at the old year and you think it wasn't altogether what it could have been. Maybe you should look ahead towards the new year. You think, well, I wonder what this year will bring. It's great to combine that with faith. And I wonder if we can just turn our eyes, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. One of my favorite passages, a theme passage from my life, in Hebrews 4, verse 2, and it says, "For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did," talking here about the Old Testament people, "just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed." It's wonderful to think about how powerful or how wonderful faith is and how it gives us a different perspective on life. Sharing about Surinder, it's hard to be a Christian. There are many things that make, it's a hard decision for each of us. For Surinder, for every person to make. But today we're going to talk about combining those difficulties with faith. And that is really what makes the difference. In chapter 10, and verse 34, talking here about the, I'm sure we're going to study all this in great detail in our class on Hebrews, but it talks about how the people here suffered. It says, "You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." Now, faith makes us view things differently. I wonder how, as we look ahead to the year ahead, how we think, what we think about. And the encouragement today is really to look ahead with faith.
Yeah.
It's look ahead and combine what you see with faith, in line with Hebrews 4 verse 2, that we would combine what we see with faith, and that would change our perspectives. And like Surinder, we would feel like we can be Christians. That though there are many things stacked against us, there are many things that God will help us to be victorious with.
Amen.
It's fascinating as we look at the scriptures, because there are so many examples of times when people struggled with their faith. sometimes some of the most unlikely people. In Matthew chapter 11, we read about John the Baptist and how he sends his disciples to Jesus. And he sends them to him because things aren't working out the way they were meant to. And I'll read just verse 2 and verse 3. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he said to his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Yeah, it's fascinating as we see somebody struggle with, is it really meant to be like this? I didn't expect this. And struggling to combine what they're going through with faith. In 1 Kings chapter 19, and it's a wonderful part of the Old Testament. It's where Ahab, a very wicked king, a very ungodly character, is ruling in Israel. And Elijah is God's man. And in chapter 18, Elijah has a tremendous victory, and God really does some things that really show that he is in control. But in the next chapter, we read a very interesting couple of verses. Chapter 19, verse 3, said Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. This is because Jezebel, the king's wife, has threatened him. When he came to Bathsheba in Judah, he left his servant there. Now look at this. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors, of course, are dead. It's fascinating as we look at these examples and we see people struggling to combine what they see. Even when God is really working, they're struggling to combine what they see with faith. In Mark chapter 19, we see an example of somebody who comes to Jesus, a father comes to Jesus, and his son is in a real muddle. He's struggling with demon possession, and he says to Jesus, if you can help. And Jesus says, what do you mean, if I can help? But in verse 24, we read, it says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. So what we experience as we struggle to put together what we see with faith is really nothing new. And yet it's a great challenge for us. And I think our challenge this year has been, really well put together, well thought through, that we can be, number one, we can be Christians, and number two, that we can be used by God to help others, which of course is an incredible goal. Yeah. I remember for me starting, I remember sort of like 2003, and we had been through a bit of a crisis church-wise, and I couldn't decide whether to be a vet, go back to my profession as a veterinary surgeon, or whether to continue as a minister. And, we often can be like that, can't we? We see the crises and we think, why is this happening? I think what we need to remember is that even though my situation may not be ideal, God doesn't view our obstacles as a problem, but as a great opportunity. So I'd like to think today, as we look forward, that we see our lives through God's lens, rather than through our lens. You know, for me, as many of you know, I've struggled with my health the last 10 years or so. The doctors don't exactly know what it is. It's a coordination-related thing. But you know, the thing I've learned through it is that God's plan doesn't always fit in with our plans. But they still have things that make us stronger and better able to help others. You know, I think how it's taught me just how challenging life is for so many people. Life isn't ideal for so many people. You know, I think in our outreach, sometimes we feel disappointed about our outreach. Recently, my car broke down, which won't surprise any of you. I got the AA out, and I didn't invite the AA man to church. He was so nice to me. And I felt really indignant with myself after that. I thought, why didn't you at least just try and invite him? That's at least that wouldn't... He wasn't an intimidating person. He was a really nice person. I could at least have invited him. But, you know, sometimes we have times when we think, well, I've really let the side down here. I haven't done what I could have done. Or maybe you struggle with forgiveness issues. And you find that you're reminded of the hurt of the past, the forgiveness and the hurt, and it makes you feel really ashamed. Or maybe there's recurrent sin in our lives that really knocks us back at times. But you know, what we need to remember, I believe, is that our faith rests on God's character. How faithful he has been and what he says. You know, I'm reminded that at the end of Matthew chapter 28, it says, I'll be with you always. And in Matthew 12, he talks about a bruised reed I will not break, and a smoldering wick I will not snuff out. But as I introduced her, I'd like to ask you now to come and share a little bit about surrender and why life for her, being a Christian, wasn't straightforward either. Tidu.
First of all, just to say thank you for everybody who came yesterday and all the messages and phone calls that I've received and Joan and the whole family have received from you. It's been, you know, a difficult time, and it's really encouraging to have the support and love shown by everybody here. I'm going to find this quite difficult, I think, but you know, my mum is now, you know, as I think Tony mentioned earlier, has you know, reached a goal, and that is kind of really exciting, even though we miss her. As I said yesterday, you know, she's enriched all of our lives in some way, and we are somewhat diminished, I think, by her loss. You know, her conversion wasn't straightforward. I mean, she came from a cultural background. We were brought up as in a Sikh tradition, and anyone who knows any Asian culture pretty well knows that the cultural ties are extremely strong, and it's quite difficult for someone to break that culture, and you know, become a Christian, especially if you were a Hindu or a Sikh or a Muslim, it would be quite difficult to make that decision. And I shared yesterday that one of the things that I've really learned to respect about my mother was that she was pretty much the same age as I am now. She was 58, 59 when she became a Christian. 59 actually. She was a little bit older than me. I'll be 59 in March. So I'm one of the oldies, I suppose, golden oldies. the thing that I really appreciate being this age is that, you know, and my kids I know this. It's quite hard for somebody of my age to sort of change their path, you know, to be corrected or being helped to, you know, recognize that maybe there's a different way. And I think my mother demonstrated incredible humility. I recognize that now, although I didn't really appreciate it as much at the time. But I recognize the humility it took for her, having been brought up, you know, very clearly in a very strong cultural background, and to be made to feel that, you know, she was almost betraying that culture. And when I became a Christian, when Joan and I became Christians, when I announced that I was going to become a Christian, you know, her words were, "Christian? Christian? What do you want to do that for? You know? Why didn't you come to me?" Anyone who's seen Goodness Gracious Me will appreciate it. "Why didn't you come to me? I would teach you about God." You know, the thing was that, you know, incredibly, and sometimes we can struggle with the faith to recognize how we can, you know, see somebody change. But incredibly, you know, a few weeks later, she, you know, she came along to us and said, "Yeah, you're still going to that church?" we said, "Yes." And said, "Why haven't you invited me?" Said, "Well, we thought you didn't like it, you know, because you came once, and, you know, she came along the first time, you know, and she just stood there glaring at Ben Brady, sat there glaring at Ben Brady, what have you done to my son?" You know, it was only a few months later that she became a Christian herself. And, you know, changed her life radically from being somebody who, you know, on average consumed half a bottle of whiskey a day, smoked 20 fags a day, and really was just pretty morose, living her life, you know, just totally about, you know, as I shared yesterday, she was just really into serving her kids and the family and really devoted to her family. But she was quite broken by her divorce many years ago. But, you know, having seen the change that was possible in her, you know, and radically changing her life, and you know, particularly in the recent years, really dealing with forgiveness issues and being able to just move forwards. And the thing that she always used to repeat to everybody who knew her, and I'm sure you've probably heard this, is that how grateful we all need to be for each day.
Yeah.
You know, we wake up in the morning and she would say time and time again in our family group, "You know what? We would be talking about a topic," and she would just share the same story regardless of what topic we were talking about. It was like a record that was stuck, but anyway, my mum was very single-minded, you know. You know, I always praise God for every day. I wake up and thank you, God, for my breath. Thank you for this new day. Thank you for, you know, what I have received today. And, you know, it might have been a little bit irritating when we were there, when we may have been trying to share and talk about something else, and Mum would just share about how she does this every day. But you realise that, you know, this is because she had a really deep faith and appreciation for what God had given her each day. So, you know, as it's hard to say goodbye, it's also encouraging to know that she did, you know, fight the fight and run that race to the finish line. And, I think it's encouraging for us to know that, you know, we can, you know, overcome obstacles and hopefully run that race too.
Thank you, Sidhu. Turn to Acts chapter 9, if you have a Bible, please turn there. But you know, God's ways sometimes are not our ways. And there's an amazing example of that in Acts chapter 9. And I'll start in verse 1. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be taught what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there, speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see any more. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see. So they led him by the hand to Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Stop there for a moment. You know, God has audacious plans.
Yeah.
God has extraordinary plans.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an extraordinary account here, isn't it? Mm. I mean, Saul is such an unusual, unusually negative example of somebody who's queuing up wanting to be a Christian. And yet this was God's audacious plan. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on State Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to the holy people of Jerusalem. He has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call his name." Stop them. You know, it is the audacious, you can sympathize with Ananias. Ananias doesn't have the nicest job here. You know, basically God says, "Look, I'm going to use you to go and help this fella, Saul." And his reply is, I really don't want to do this. You know, I wonder if we can relate to that a bit. We feel sometimes like, I really just don't want to do what God has in store for me. But it's a tough role. But sometimes God has a tough role for each of us too. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said to him, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. I want to encourage anybody who is thinking about being a Christian. You know, this scripture here is so encouraging, I think. You know, I think typically when we're not Christians, we think, I couldn't be a Christian because. You know, maybe there's something you just really couldn't see yourself doing without. Couldn't see yourself, being a committed person for God. And yet Saul really gives us a great example of somebody who had everything set against him, and yet absolutely made that decision. God's choice to choose Saul and to choose Saul to be his light to the Gentiles. What an extraordinary plan.
Yeah.
But God does have extraordinary plans. And he has extraordinary plans today too. He has extraordinary plans in our lives. You know, God would plan to do amazing things in our lives too. Now we read on. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogue. that Jesus was the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul heard of their plan. Day and night they kept watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But the followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. And we'll stop there. You know, what an extraordinary plan, but what an amazing impact. And how much impact our changed lives have on those around us. What an amazing impact Saul's changed life had on those around him. And, you know, it's amazing how frustrated they become with Saul. Maybe you relate to this bit. That you try and share your faith and you just get abuse, or you just get rejection, or you just get, you know, humiliation or whatever. That's what Saul got because of his changed life. And I would like to encourage us, you know, this year, just to really view that our changed lives have an amazing impact on those around us. And to be determined that, you know, we would just live lives that are changed. And these people become, you know, the opponents become frustrated. Maybe you relate to that. People become frustrated with you because of your moral stand or because of your determination to be righteous. But, you know, you refuse to give in. We read on. It says, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. You know how extraordinary God's plan is. What about God's plan in our lives? You know, I mentioned earlier in verse 15 how Jesus said very clearly, you know, he's my man for the Gentiles. In Ephesians chapter 3, we read, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. The plan of God. How extraordinary that was. In Acts chapter 21, there's a wonderful verse which must have been such an encouragement you know, to the early Christians. In verse 19, we read, says, Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles throughout his ministry. You know, it's a great reminder how God's way works. And how faith combined with, you know, our challenges of our daily lives is so very powerful.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful to have our website. And I was really moved by what Obi shared. Obi did a sermon, and I was with the preteens, and in Acts 8 and verse 4, he shared something that I think, since it's our sort of our theme scripture for the year, but you know, he shared about how for him coming and patient coming and family coming to Thames Valley, one of the really impacting things was seeing how a few people can start something amazing. You know, it's a really good reminder that, you know, that there may only be one or two or three or four or just a few of us, but God can still do amazing things. You know, our theme scripture for the year, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So let's combine what we see in our lives with faith and a great vision. Thank you.